Now, filling in for John on News Talk Radio 710 WOR, here's Congressman Peter King.
Morning, this is Congressman Pete King. I'm back for the third hour, and I'm really proud to be joined by a good friend and an outstanding mayor, the mayor of the city of New York, Michael Bloomberg. Good morning, Mike.
Well, Pete, you know, you're not John Gambling, but we love you anyways. As does John. He particularly loves you. He gets the day off. You do the work.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure this out. I mean, you know, John's always talking about politicians getting all the time off. All I know is that I'm filling in for him, and he's down in Florida all the time. But great to talk to you, as always. And obviously, you're in the news again, as you are a lot, but especially now, based on your State of the City address yesterday and your call for school reform. And I've been sitting here all morning listening to Joe Bartlett. Every time he reads the news, it's how the teachers' union is attacking you for disastrous policies and living in a fantasy world. So, Mr. Mayor, it's all yours.
Well, it's not a fantasy world for the best teachers who are proud of what they do. And in all fairness, that's the vast bulk of the teachers. And the very best really would like to be able to get bonuses. Nobody goes into education for the money, but we all know it's tough to pay the bills, and more money would help and let them focus more on education. It's also true that, as studies have shown, and there was a new one that the Times wrote about a few weeks ago, the best teachers make an enormous difference in the futures of their students. And they teach better, the students learn more, and it's something that seems to stay, according to the study. Years later, you can still see the difference that a great teacher makes. I've always joked that in real estate, people say the three things that are important, they are location, location, and location. And when it comes to education, it's teacher quality, teacher quality, teacher quality. And we've got to make sure our schools are run not for the teachers, but for the students. Now, keep in mind, the teachers' union's there to represent the teachers, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've never had a problem. People want to get together. They want to hire somebody to represent them. That's great. But that's not what they're supposed to worry about, better wages and better working conditions for their members. The city's supposed to worry about better educational outcomes for our students, and that's what we're going to do. And, you know, for all the bluster, I think in the end, my hope is that people will come together and that we'll find a way to evaluate teachers, reward the best, give some help to those that aren't doing a great job. If they can get better, that's wonderful. We've got big investments in them. But if they can't, then they've just got to step aside. More important than keeping them on the job is making sure our students have the knowledge they need to go out and compete in an ever more competitive world. We've made a lot of progress in schools, but we certainly have a long ways to go. And this, Pete, came from out of a state law which was passed, which said that we should have a ways to evaluate good teachers and move out those that aren't doing all that well. And then, lo and behold, it said in the last days they slipped in something that says, well, you've got to come to an agreement with the union. Well, the union's, I think, probably unlikely to agree, or it'd be difficult to agree that with anything other than seniority. That's what unions really are all about. So now I think it's up to the state legislature, up to Albany. The governor certainly, I was very heartened to hear him talk about education in his State of the State message. He knows, and the legislature knows, and I think the union knows, we just have to do something to make the educational outcomes better. And if we can do it and protect all the teachers, that's great. But if we can't, we have to decide what is our number one priority, and it's got to be the students.
Mike, obviously you've made education a priority. You have made policing and counterterrorism a main priority, and keeping the city's finances in order. With the budget issues that we have and the fiscal issues we have at the national, state, and city level, and as you know, generally one way we try to resolve our fiscal issues in Washington is by passing the burden down to the local governments. How do you see the city's finances being over the next several years?
Well, that's certainly been happening. The federal government gave us money, which was great to do some things, and then eventually eventually stop giving us money. The problem with government is when you get money, you spend it. If you spend it 1 year, everybody expects it to be spent the next year. But if the money's not coming in from the source, then the taxpayers are on the hook, and they've got to figure out some ways to reach into their pockets. And it's just not easy to cut back when your funding source cuts back. Last year, the federal government stimulus money for education went away. That was $800 million. Our governor faced a terrible budget problem in Albany. And he had to cut aid to the counties, including educational aid, and that made it harder for us to figure out a ways to keep our teachers and keep paying them. But we did, fortunately, we had put away $6 billion over the last half a dozen years, and we used a good chunk of it last year. The trouble is we don't have that much left for going forward. But the city has been cutting its expenses. Today we have 6% fewer employees than we did 10 years ago. I suspect there are very few governments that can say that. We had about 310,000 employees when I came into office January 2002, and today it's about 290,000, 20,000 less, and we're going to have to find ways to do more with even less. My hope is to, if we have to downsize, do it through attrition rather than layoffs. I think we've got some very understanding unions here, and for all of the posturing, they are very helpful. And I've always argued that without unions, it would be much harder to run the city. And the workforce that we have is far and away the best workforce any municipality has. And part of that comes from good leadership at the top of their organizations. But you point out something that's very important. As everybody cuts at the top, they don't cut services, they just cut funding. And the level of government below them has to step in. Why? Because the public, for all of its talk about, I don't want to spend anymore, and they really believe that, they also don't want to give up any of the services. And everybody's got a favorite service. And if you protect yours and I protect mine, then there's no cuts at all.
Mike, one thing which you and I have discussed many times, and as chairman of Homeland Security, I know that New York City is still by far the number one terrorist target in the country, if not the world. And I use the example all the time that there's 1,000 New York City police officers involved in counterterrorism. The city of Chicago has 4. That's the second largest city, and they're nowhere near close to us as far as making the local contribution and effort to combating terrorism. Do you think you can continue to maintain that effort over the next several years?
We're going to have to. I mean, there's nothing more important than keeping us safe. Safe means safe from street crime. It means safe from automobile accidents and fires and need better response time from ambulances. And it certainly means safe from fighting terrorism. I was at an event yesterday at Gracie Mansion celebrating an organization that Fordham University, Joe McShane, Father McShane, the head of it, was there, Fordham. And it's an organization that every year gets together some of the best people in the country from government and from the private sector to talk about another kind of terrorism, and that's cyber terrorism. People don't think of it in the same context, but if somebody broke into the grid and shut off electricity or stopped the financial markets from working or took down the air traffic control while there's planes up there, there are enormous consequences, and many of them really life-threatening and would change our ways of life. So there's, and the police department, Ray Kelly was there, another part of the government that is worried about what could befall us, and hopefully we are first preventers before we're first responders, but we've got to do both. We've got to spend a lot of money to try to stop terrorism, stop accidents, stop fires, but if there is one of those events, respond with the best trained, the best equipped, the best managed group of people that anybody can possibly put together. And I don't know if you noticed, we announced cut a ribbon, I guess. Didn't cut one, but we were there to a press conference at our new center where all of the calls for emergencies come in. It used to be if you had somebody breaking into your house You ran to get away, tripped and broke your leg, and dropped a candle that you're using to light and start a fire. You would have to make 3 emergency calls. Today, 1 call will get you the police, the fire department, and the fire department's ambulance corps. What's more, if you said on that call in the olden days, help me, I'm on 42nd Street, the operator might assume that's in Midtown Manhattan, except there's a 42nd Street in 2 or 3 other boroughs. And if we sent the emergency responders to the wrong place, we'd waste an awful lot of time, and the consequences could be tragic. The new technology lets us know where you're calling from and does a lot of verification kinds of things. And that's just another way that we have to keep making investments in tough times, Pete, so that if anything happens, we're still there. The city many years ago made the mistake of stopping to maintain the bridges, and now we've had to redo virtually all of our bridges at great expense. If they'd maintained them, we would have saved a lot of money. Lots of people have died because we didn't respond as fast as we could have if we'd worked harder to train and get technology and that sort of thing. We're not making that mistake now. We've been working with all of our great employees, and I think the city's better prepared than ever before. And partly, incidentally, because, and I don't mean this just because you're on the show, but you have been a godsend to this city and to this state and to this country in terms of bringing to Washington's attention the threats that we face and coming up with money to help us prepare, to prevent, and to respond. And we'd always like more, but I just wanted to say thank you for everything you've done.
Well, Mike, thank you very much. And you're obviously, you and Commissioner Kelly, when it comes to counterterrorism, you are really the leaders in the nation. I mean, what the NYPD has done under your leadership and Commissioner Kelly's leadership, really, as far as I'm concerned, it is the number one counterterrorism operation in the country. I mean, the FBI and all of the federal agencies could learn an awful lot by seeing what's done here in the city. I know that you know you get some flack every now and then, and there's always somebody bringing a lawsuit against you. But I can tell you, being in Washington, you've really set the model for the rest of the country, which the country tries to emulate, but too often doesn't. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, listen, there's always somebody that complains. It's New York. It's democracy. But I think most people really understand that we're going in the right direction. Actually, last night I had the thought, I was at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where they've opened a new American art wing, and the most spectacular picture of Washington crossing the Delaware. The picture's got to be 50 feet by 30 feet. It's an enormous picture, and it's just the most beautiful thing. And you walk around and you see the art that reflects our history, and you realize what a wonderful thing we've created here in America. For all of the criticisms, for all of the people complaining, when it comes time to pick up your family, leave your belongings and culture and language and everything behind and start a new life, people come to America. They don't go to any of the other countries that we keep blaming for some of our problems. And I've said again and again, but I don't think we should focus on other countries and whether they help us or hurt us. We've got to worry about ourselves. We've got to make ourselves more competitive. We've got to make ourselves more efficient. We've got to make sure that we stay open so the best and the brightest from around the world can come here and keep improving the safety of people. And this country is still the greatest country anybody's ever put together.
And you're the greatest mayor we have. And, Mike, I want to thank you for joining us. And I'll be in trouble at home if I don't send you love from my wife, Rosemary, for whatever reason is enthralled by you. I don't know. She,
Pete, I don't think there's nobody I know that doesn't think that Rosemary is the best in your family.
With that, Mike, thank you very much.
Goodbye.
And have a great weekend. Thank you.